Good morning, church.
As I prepared my lesson over the weeks, thinking about Brother Ambrose and the things that he's going through, the thing that I can honestly say is our God has it under control. Our God has it under control. Our God knows what he knows. And this week I've been telling my guys all week, you have to understand to understand. Amen. You have to understand to understand. Going through every year, I pick a word and I study the word. The last 4 or 5 years, I've been speaking here at the church. And when it gets down to October, November, usually by then, I usually have the word picked. But for some reason, it just didn't come to me. I couldn't grasp what God was trying to lead me to study. So I had came down, it had got down to two words: serve and intent. Serve and intent. So as I'm going through this, I get a phone call from one of my good friends, and he tells me, "Are you going to Houston?" Going to Houston? Yeah, your head coach just got that head coaching job in Houston. So now, decisions got to be made. Moves have to be made. What are you going to do? So we're in bowl practice, and we owe it to the kids to finish the season. Where we had some coaches that didn't finish the season. We finished the season with two coaches on defense. And it's not good when you have two defensive back coaches that are the two. But we made it through anyway. Tulane hires a new coach, John Summerall. So he wants to sit in on our first meeting. So, of course, it's his team now, so they let him say some things. And the first thing he said was, we have to serve these kids. Wow. God really does talk to you. I go in his office. What's up, coach? How you doing? JJ, what's going on, man? I got to keep you here, man. I got to keep you here. God, decision made. No question marks. No studying, no due diligence, no boom. It's done. So as I get into January and I start studying, serve. I'm listening to a podcast. You know, I go to work at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, so it's early. So I'm on the causeway and I'm listening to this podcast. And this guy says, you know, do you ever not hear from God? Do you ever go through a period of time in your life, you're going through things or things are smooth or whatever, and you never hear from God? And I'm literally thinking about it. I'm literally thinking about what happened to me. And he said, you know what?
I have a way that you can always hear from God. So now I'm really like Spider-Man 10 of, I'm ready to listen to this way. And he says, ask God what you can do for him today. Amen, church. I'm going to say amen. Ask God, how can you serve him today? What's one specific thing that you can do for God today? And I'm driving. I have never asked God what I can do for him today. I've been in the church for years, 7 years old. Severe Street Church of Christ, Herman, Tennessee, baptized at 7 years old, leading song service at 7 years old, preaching the word of God since I was about 16 years old, and I never asked God, what can I do for you today? And I'm puzzled. I need an umbrella. I need an umbrella, church. Am I not worthy to ask the man? Do I have the knowledge to ask the man? And I'm just like, man, I don't know if I want to study this word serve. I might have picked a word that I might need to go back to obedience of last year or feedback the year before. So I get out of my car, and of course the whole day at work, I'm not what? Focused. I'm not. Why have I not asked God, what can I do for him today? I claim to be a Christian. I walk around like I'm a Christian. I pray to God like I'm a Christian. I acknowledge him like I'm a Christian. But what, something's going on here. How do I click this?
Hey, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Seven. It's not for everybody, baby. Let's go. Finish the rep.
It's not for everybody. I tell my guys, being successful as a football team is not for everybody. The work you have to do, the time you have to put in to being an elite football team is not for everybody. We're trying to be in the college playoffs this year. It's not for everybody. There's only 12 teams that get picked. But as a Christian, serving on a high level, serving with the mindset like Jesus, is not for everybody. It's not. And for us to be able to achieve that goal of being able to serve people where God would just look down and just start smiling. One thing that I've learned so far about this word serve, that if you serve people the way you're supposed to serve people with the mindset of Jesus, you're going to get smiles. You're going to get smiles. Going back to that coach, every time we pass somebody on the football field, in the locker room, in the complex, we bump each other. Boom, boom, boom. Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. Hey, how's your mom doing? And we're steadily bumping people. Because when you serve people, it puts a smile on their face. Then I started thinking as I started studying, and we're going to get more into the lesson. I'm just trying to set the stage here. As we get more into the lesson, I started studying that. I can bump all I want. Some people don't want to be served. Amen. Amen. But why? Why don't they want to be served? They don't know how. They've not been taught. They don't have the mindset of Jesus. They don't have the love of Jesus. They don't know. Jesus' guys, the 12 disciples, Greek translation, student. Matthew, Mark, and John were, I guess, the closest to Jesus. We started spring ball. And so we started spring ball maybe 10 days ago. So I've been serving my guys. I've been reading things on how can I serve? How can I serve my players? And I've been pouring into making sure they're at classes, making sure they're doing their homework, making sure they're doing the little things, making sure they're going to treatment when they're hurt. And the first day and the second day of spring ball was a debacle. We got all these high-priced NIL football players that should be in the pros playing receiver for Tulane. I coach the defensive back, so that's not, like if they run by us, that's not good. And I lost two guys that's going in the NFL draft this year, so see, that's the devil. We'll talk about him here in a minute. And these two guys are going on to the NFL, so I have young guys, like having young Christians. And they're going to make mistakes. After the third day, we got on the practice field, and I saw the respect that they had for me. I saw the passion that they had to do what I was trying to get them to do. And when I looked at this passion, all I could think about is when you serve others, they'll try to go overboard for you. See how the devil is? He wants to hear the message. You know why he wants to hear the message? He wants to know the game plan. He has to, see, he's not God. See, God already knows what's going to happen. The devil don't. Amen. So, these guys went out there, and I'm talking about they played their little tails off. And they've been playing their little tails off since that day. And I told them, this is the first group I ever told. My guys, I get down with my guys. I love my guys. I recruited them. But it's just something that's special about when I challenge them, when I ask them to allow me to serve you guys. They allow me to. Jesus is God. John chapter 13, And I'll be speaking the next this Sunday and the next two Sundays. And we'll be coming from John, the 13th chapter. And it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full intent of his love. The evening meal was beginning, served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. When there's love, the devil's going to be around. I'm going to say it again, church. Where there is love, the devil got his head just around the corner. Amen. For us to be able to serve at a high level, I truly believe this, church, for us to be able to serve at a high level and to have greater things, we have to understand love. I didn't know that there's so many loves out here. I mean, it's this love, that love, this love, that love, this love. Growing up in the church, the only thing I knew was agape. I knew love to the full intent. But because our culture, our worldly culture, has changed so much, we got to know how to attack this worldly culture. Having loved his own who were in the world, I can imagine right now. The Bible says that right before this, Jesus had done all his thing. He's done everything. These guys have been with Jesus for 3 days. And Jesus would hear the guys arguing, talking about who was the best, who was better. When guys get together, you know, it's not going to be quiet. When you get 12 guys together, 13 guys together, it's not going to be quiet. See, we think because they're the 12 disciples, that how holy these guys are. They're going to sit there and they're going to fix their hair, and they're going to make sure that they're right, that everything is good when they talk. Oh, Jesus, yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, sir. No! Jesus, when he picked the 12, he went to a high place, a mountain. And who did he call on? His Father. Father, give me the wisdom to pick the 12. Give me the ability to pick the right ones. It's kind of like when I'm picking my DBs, and I got to pick the right ones. If I don't pick the right ones, guess who won't have a job long? Amen. But nowadays, we pick the wrong ones. Guess what happened? They go in their transfer portal. So some of you guys don't understand college football. They have it now where if you don't like where you are, you can jump in the transfer portal and go somewhere else. So watch this, okay? So Jesus, of his 12, had two to jump in the portal. Judas, I'm good. I don't want to be with y'all, you know? And you know what's funny, though, about Judas? Who held the money? Judas. See, Jesus, when he's teaching this, he's going somewhere with this one. The guy that's handling the money want to get out of the port. He want to get in the port. Amen. Then you got Peter, who got in the portal, but he got back in. Amen. That happens too. You get a really good player and he gets mad. He thinks he's going to get more money if he goes in the portal. And then all of a sudden he don't think that the grass is greener on the other side. When he just should just water the grass on his side. And then he'll get on back in the portal. Well, that's what Peter did. He jumped back in the portal, out of the portal. And what happens is Jesus is taking this time right here to focus on his people, his guys. How many of you guys out here have your guys? These are my guys. What's the love you have for your guys? Who's your best friend? Male friend, male. I like that. See, that's a wise man. That's a wise man outside of your wife and your kids. Best friend. Would you die for him? No questions. No questions at all. Best friend. And don't go there. He already got those brownie points. Let me just ask this question. Who in here that has a best friend that wouldn't die for their best friend? Raise your hand if you wouldn't die for your best friend. You wouldn't. So watch this. Shouldn't be no hands up. You know what? Sometimes you ask the question, you already know the answer. Amen. All right? So I'm just going to do a little cliff note. I'm just going to cliff note and just kind of paraphrase this whole chapter. Because if I didn't, we'd be here all day long. I have 3 weeks. I'm staying right here for 3 weeks. All right? The evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas. I'm telling you, man, the devil is always around. Jesus had all power given to him by his Father. Jesus came from God and was returning to God. That's important. All right? Jesus got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. Jesus poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. We're talking about Jesus washing somebody's feet. One of the lowest things in that era, that time, that the principles that the servant would always wash the feet when they came inside. Jesus is showing his guys. I'm not going to call them the disciples for the next 3 weeks. His guys. He's showing them that no matter how high and mighty I am, I can still wash your feet. It's been 20 minutes already. I didn't get the introduction. Yeah, I'm gonna need 4 weeks. I didn't even get into the slide. All right, so listen. Next Sunday, we're gonna start back over from right here. All right, John chapter 13. Lord have mercy. I got two stories real quick, and I'm done. So we have in our special team meeting, we have three older coaches, okay? Our special team coach was the special team coach for the Saints when they won the Super Bowl. Our offensive line was the offensive line coach when the Saints won the Super Bowl. And you have me. I'm old, okay? And our special team coach gets in there, and if he's late, getting out of his meeting late, that means everybody's late for the position meetings. And he put it on. He's like, when you get older, you talk. And he's late every time. So we put somebody in there, give him a 5-minute call. 5 minutes, he's got to be done in 5 minutes. That's why I did my wife to give me, so we wouldn't be in here longer than what we should. I have been for years, people have been asking me, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? Exactly. And you know, I'm like this. If I'm not writing a bestseller, I'm not writing one. You see how y'all laughed just then? That's how they laughed at me in high school. That same little casual laugh. That same casual laugh is how they laughed at me in Tennessee. I'm being honest. But when you have the right information to write a book, amen, you can write one. I wasn't even going to talk about this today, but it was a comment made, and I just want to piggyback off the comment. So I decided to write a book, and I'm telling you, it's going to probably take me 2 to 3 years. Because, again, I want to do a bestseller. I want to be able to go to places and preach the word of God and have this book help me do that. So we were sitting in a meeting at Tulane, and Terry Fontenot was the assistant general manager for the New Orleans Saints. He is now the general manager for the Atlanta Falcons. And he was giving us a description of what each position looked like, a profile. And he goes, cornerbacks, we want 6'1", a corner's long, can run, quick, change of direction. He said, if you're under 5'10", you better walk on water. Amen. So, of course, everybody's looking at me, like literally looking at me like, ooh, he just said that? You was too small. And I couldn't control my tongue. I was wrong for this. I looked at them and I said, no, I just walked on water. So I'm thinking about this, okay? And I'm thinking about the walking on water. I was a walk on at Tennessee. And when his focus was off of Jesus, he fell short. And I truly can say that my whole time my focus has been on God. So now what I have to do is put my 7 principles in order and take the time, first of all, to learn how to write a book. You can't have a bestseller if you don't know what you're doing. We'll see this here when Jesus is teaching his disciples, which means student, how to move, how to love, how serious his sacrifice of his life was to them loving. And when we figure out that if we don't have love, the right love, we can't mentor. Hey, Brother Andy, you need to keep that scripture for next week, okay? We're going to go old school next week. But we have to understand that that the scriptures are here for us. But if we don't understand them, we don't rightly divide them. The culture in today's society is so bad when you talk about the church. I can have a sign outside that says, we don't hate here. But what is that really saying? We're going to still hold you accountable for there being only one church? We're going to hold you accountable for there only being one baptism? Got quiet here. Got quiet. Because sometimes we don't want to challenge people. But if we learn how to challenge people in love, I got one guy that I coach. I literally, each one of my players have to coach them differently. And that's just like when you're witnessing to somebody. Everybody's not going to be the same. I'm not going to be able to talk to you the same way I talk to you. Can't. And God gives us all. He dealt with Peter straight up. I'm going to jump just real quick. He told Peter, if you don't listen to Peter, just go on to hell. You ain't coming to heaven. Because Peter wanted to do it his way. This man just told you he get ready to die. He got 24 hours and he's out of here. He don't really want to die. He love y'all so much, he want to stay here and witness to you all. But no, you want to do it your way. Sound familiar? Give you an example, I'm done. My wife, sometimes, I would not allow her to serve me. Why? Because my attitude isn't right. Amen. She'll tell me something that I really need to hear. She's serving me. Because guess what? Love is just not, oh, I'm in love. There's two ways to balance love. And that's what we're going to get into next week, is how do we balance love? Again, because if I don't have love, I can't even come close to serving. Please, if you have any time before we close, John chapter 13, read the whole thing. We'll be all in it next week. Chapter 13, washing the feet. And see how Jesus deals with his disciples, but then again, the love he has for them. Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? I'm cheating. He has a new commandment for love in the 13th chapter of John. Well, we got to love like him, not like ourselves. If anyone has or need any prayers, this is the time of our service where we pray for our Christians. We pray for our members because we have love for our members. I'm going to ask you guys to pray for me, that I'll continue to study the portion of God's word to edify you guys and myself, to continue to challenge me of understanding the real true meaning of why Jesus loved the way he did. I'm asking you guys to pray for me for these next 2 weeks, that I can bring a message where you guys can understand.